And it is my assignment tonight to talk some about the rise and fall of King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, it said the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice, and commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. This is one of the saddest stories that you will ever read. Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba, and he was the product of his father's indiscretion with Bathsheba. He was a man that started out with everything, everything. He was the chosen vessel of God. He was one of the wisest men that had ever lived. But at the end of his life, this Bible's wisest man had become the Bible's wisest fool. And he did it with a heart that was all for himself and only for himself. He was a man that took down not only himself, but he took down a nation with him. He had a very good beginning. He had a very good start. But just because an individual has a good beginning does not mean that they're going to have a good finish. And Solomon certainly did not. He drifted, and he finally defected, and it can happen to us. The first half of his life, Solomon lived for God. For the second half of his life, he lived for Satan. Some people, when they read this and the commentators wonder how in the world anyone could fall this far and this fast. But the Bible tells us that this is exactly what happened. And the fall of Solomon was not as exceptional as maybe we would like to think it to be. There's many people that are raised with pious parents. There's many people that's raised with parents that teach them the right things to do, that gives them the right religious instructions. There's many people out there that have a promising youth. They have possibly exceptional or at least a good average intellectual knowledge. And many of these kids are frequently warned of their dangers, but still, as they get up, they still have a tendency sometimes to fail and come short of the glory of God. And God warned Solomon. God saw what was happening to Solomon. He saw that Solomon was going down the wrong path. And God warned Solomon about this, and Solomon did not listen. He ignored God. The height of Solomon's life, it seems, is when he was able to dedicate the temple which he built. Spent many years of his life building this temple for God. And the dedication of this was a high point in the life of Solomon. And it was the next day that God spoke to Solomon. He said, you need to slow down here a little bit. You need to realize who did this. You need to realize who the glory goes to. Don't let yourself get caught up in this religious excitement. And if you want to go just forward, just several generations, you can see where the Apostle Peter, in the fervor of the pending crucifixion when Jesus told him about it, it was the Apostle Peter that stood up and with loud voice said, you don't have to worry about me, Lord. I'm going to be there with you. I've got you back. I will be with you. And Jesus said, be careful what you say, Peter. And of course, we remember what happened then. So it seems that the greatest thing Solomon ever did probably led to his downfall. The sins that Solomon committed were what destroyed him and also destroyed the nation of Israel. We're going to talk for a little while this afternoon about the rise and the fall of King Solomon. Let's look at the Father's word prayer. I kind of relate to old Solomon. He was promised a long life, but yet at 60 years of age or thereabout, Solomon died. And it was really because of the life that he had lived. If he could have lived longer, he should have lived longer. And I'm in my 60s now, so I guess I kind of relate. Kind of relate to him. I kind of understand maybe some of the things he was going through. But this is a very sad, sad story for someone that was so good. And someone that did so much, and someone that was given so much to throw it away and to turn away, to drift and to defect from everything that God had given him into the situation that he found himself. And I think it behooves us when we look at stories like this to understand why it happened, because this is something that we want to avoid. We will never have what Solomon had. But he lost what he had, and it's a very sad story. Solomon compromised his wisdom. You know, when God first decided when he chose Solomon for the job that he wanted to do to replace his daddy as the king, he asked Solomon, what gift would you like? And Solomon asked for wisdom, and this was the right answer. This was the right answer. God was very pleased with the young man. He was pleased with the understanding that he had. And God gave him the gift of wisdom. He gave him more wisdom than anyone has ever had before. Probably never been a man that has lived that had any more wisdom than Solomon had. And God gave him the gift of wisdom. And of course, Jesus was a wise man. And he had all the answers. But then Jesus was not the man, a man like Solomon, because Jesus had God, the Father, as his daddy. But God blessed Solomon with great, unparalleled wisdom. And he used this wisdom in a useful way. First half of his life, or the first part of his life, Solomon did great. He did what God wanted him to do. He behaved as God wanted him to behave. He was able to rule and to judge the children of Israel. They were happy with him. God was happy with him. He was happy with himself. And life was really good. He was good for the citizens. They all prospered. Israel was strong. Israel was powerful. Israel was respected. And it was all done under the leadership and the guidance of King Solomon. But Solomon then got too smart for himself. And the wisdom that he had, that God had given him to do the things that he was able to do and to accomplish the things that he was able to accomplish, began to work against him. And his wisdom then led him to do some very foolish and some very immoral things. But he compromised the gift of wisdom that God had given him. Solomon also had a very serious problem with sensuality. And this was a major cause of the downfall of Solomon. The Bible tells us that he intermarried with heathen women. He married these women that worshiped idols. He married these foreign women of the land, and they had no godliness in them. They did not accept God as the one true God. And Solomon, of all men, should have realized the deity and the power of God. But he began to intermingle with these foreign women. He eventually married 700 of them, and then he had princesses and concubines, some 300, 1,000 women Solomon was trying to control and to be a husband to. The Bible tells us that his wives turned his heart away from God. This is 1 Kings 3 and 4. Now, it was not that he was not warned against these women, because he was. All of the children of Israel were warned against these foreign women. And God said, marry within your own race. Marry within your own within your own doctrine. Stay with Jewish people. Stay with people that believe like you do. Stay away from these foreign women that believe in these idols of all nature and of all types. But Solomon didn't listen. And the wives turned him away from God. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. The Bible says, don't ever allow anything or anyone to turn you away from God. Watch your relationships with those that are not Christians. Watch your relationships when you allow people into your life that are not guided by the same principles and the same beliefs that we are, because it can turn into disaster, it can turn into destruction, it can even turn into a loss of life, and a loss of power, and the loss of a nation, as it did with Solomon. His indulgence, his inability to control himself, grew upon him, and it finally got to the point that the manhood of Solomon was about the only thing that Solomon was concerned about. Love became debased. It was no longer love that caused him to marry, but it became a lustful thing. He lusted after these women, the 300 concubines, the 700 wives. He divorced himself from purity. You know, the Bible tells us that marriage is pure, and marriage is given by God. And it's the way God expects a man and a woman to live and to operate and to raise their families. But when you take it to the point that Solomon was taking it, it was no longer pure. It was no longer perfect. It was no longer acceptable unto God. But the lust that he had was something that was divorced from purity. And physically as well as morally, Solomon knew he was wrong. And he became a wreck. And he couldn't get out of it. And he couldn't stop it. He could not control himself. And when he died, 60 years of age, he was weary. He was broken and he was old. And it's a shame that an individual would allow themselves to come so tangled up into something and become so compulsive with something to the point that it actually destroys his life. But that's exactly what happened to Solomon. Those scholars and those that understand and read the books can see the downward progress of the books that Solomon wrote or the books that bear his name. In the Songs of Solomon, you hear Solomon as he talks about the brightness of youth. He speaks about the future. He speaks about the love that he has for everything. He was passionate. He was undefiled. He was still pure. And you read about all of the many wonderful things that Solomon feels about life and the things that he wants to do and the things that he wants to accomplish. It's a very optimistic, positive writing in the Song of Solomon. But in the latter part of his life, when you get into the book of Ecclesiastes, you hear an outcry of a man that is in very serious trouble and a man that needs something. You hear the outcry of his age when he says, everything is vanity and vexation of spirit. This is a man that is depressed. This is a man that has allowed himself to become so consumed with the passions that he has involved himself with that he's actually destroyed his life. And I think when he writes, everything is vanity and vexation of spirit, I think that we're reading words from a man that maybe he doesn't know where else to go. He has become so tangled in sin that he doesn't know the way out. But you know, there's an important thing we need to realize. Even in the words of Ecclesiastes, the vanity and the vexation of spirit, he's still alive. And as long as an individual is alive, an individual can repent, and an individual can confess, and an individual can turn back and do what he's supposed to do. There was no sin that Solomon had committed that was unpardonable, and there was no sin that Solomon had committed that God would not forgive. And he was a chosen vessel of God. Had he simply turned around from the warnings of God and gone back and behaved as he was supposed to and repented, it is something that God would have accepted. It was not too late for redemption. You know, his daddy was about the same age, I think somewhere in his 50s, when he saw the woman Bathsheba, and he became so compulsive with this woman that he had to have her, and he got her. It caused the death of her husband because David had him killed. But when David was told what he had done wrong and he understood the scope of it, David repented. David apologized and God forgave him. Now there were consequences. There were consequences that David had to live with the rest of his life, but God forgave him and he would have forgiven Solomon if Solomon had come to the situation and the understanding, I can't do this by myself, and he turned back unto God. They were just about the same age when they both got into these situations. Solomon spent too much time with evil companions. As we've already said, the Israelites were commanded against marriage with the heathen. The Israelites were told to stay within their own people and their own doctrine so that they all had like hopes and like beliefs and worshiped in the same way. But Solomon chose to get outside of this instruction. And though it was something that was forbidden, he was the king. He was the chosen one of God. He was the wisest man in the world. He was the richest man in the world. And obviously he felt that he could really do just about anything he wanted to. Now we understand the companionship with the world is essential and it's supposed to be. We have to get along. We have to live with the people. But the new dispensation, the Christian dispensation, says do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And God had specifically forbidden marriage between these foreign women, and this is exactly what got Solomon into problems. He compromised his wealth with extravagance. God blessed Solomon with great, great wealth. When the Queen of Sheba came to the palace of Solomon and saw the magnificent things that Solomon had. And Solomon was just tickled to death to take her anywhere and everywhere in his kingdom and show her the magnificence and the wealth of his kingdom. She came away amazed at the wealth of the Israelites because at this time, at Solomon's time, it was an extremely wealthy nation. God blessed these people. He blessed them through Solomon. He blessed them through their efforts. And they were extremely, extremely extravagant in the wealth that they had. But this great wealth became a great stumbling block for Solomon. Because after Solomon got used to this wealth, he began to place more of his hope and his trust in his wealth than he did in God, the one that had given. It's been said before that money is a wonderful servant, but it is a hard taskmaster. And we can accomplish many things with our money. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to have wealth. The problem is when you begin to love that wealth. It's the love of money that becomes the problem. And the wealth of Solomon was enormous. It's something that we probably cannot even understand. We probably cannot even imagine what it is to be as wealthy as Solomon was. David had a treasury that was already running over that he was able to give to Solomon as an inheritance. It was an inexhaustible amount of money and wealth, you would think. He had received tribute from other people. He had monopolies that were granted only to the king. So when the servants and when the Israelites and the population of Israel, when they did something that made them money, they paid a portion of it to the king. So the king was getting money from everyone and everybody. The importation of gold brought immense revenues into the treasury of Israel. It was an extravagant amount of money and wealth that was in the treasury of Israel. But it was just disproportional was the spending habits and the desires and the wants of Solomon, because he was as extravagant in his spending as they were in their income. And he spent extravagantly, and he spent excessively. He put his money into his palaces. He put money into his gardens. He put money into things that he wanted to build that would leave a legacy for him. He put tremendous amounts of money into these temples where these idols were worshipped. And after a while, even the extravagance that the Queen of Sheba saw in the treasuries, these things begin to diminish. And the money was leaving, and the money was going. And it wasn't long until a country that was extravagantly wealthy now all of a sudden found themselves under strain and in bankruptcy. And the only way to prevent this was to tax the people to the point that everything they were doing was going to pay taxes. It was all going to Solomon. It caused the breakup of the kingdom when Israel was divided into two portions, and Rehoboam got one half, and Jeroboam got the other half. It was the extravagance and the excessiveness of all of this that caused the breakup and the bankruptcy of the kingdom. And it caused a great sin in this nation, and it caused great problems in this nation. And the perils that this caused in this nation when this extravagance was exposed caused the nation was bankrupt because of the excessive spending. He was also a very oppressive man. You don't think about this with Solomon. Now we know that the pharaohs in Egypt built all of the great many pyramids and the things that would add to the legacy of the pharaohs. And the pharaohs worked his people, and he worked them hard to build these things that would leave the legacy. But Solomon looked at the Egyptians, and then he went one up on the Egyptians. Solomon erected temples to these idols, the idols of Ashtoreth and Milcom and Chemos. All of these idols were strictly forbidden to the Jews. God had told them, don't put anyone before me. These idols were evil, they were cruel, they were dark. And these idols, it degrades not only man, but it also dishonors God. It dishonors God. But he oppressed his people. He made the Canaanites slaves. He took people away from their homes, and he put them in the forest to cut trees for the many things he was building. He put men out of their home, and he put them in the quarries to hew these rocks that could be used. And all of the many different things that he wanted to build as a legacy to himself. He put his people into forced labor. He took away their prosperity. He took away their ability to take for themselves. He taxed them to the point that they could not live because of the magnificent taxes that they were paying. He taxed and he worked his citizens into bankruptcy. As he built these temples, he compromised with the worship of idolatry. And he built all of these temples to these to these terrible, terrible false gods and these idols that were destroying him and destroying his people. He was so broad in his mind and in his wisdom that he went to different countries and he spoke to the wise men of these different countries, and they spoke together and they made their plans together. Far advanced of any traditional knowledge of just normal men. And because of these other men that he spoke with and conversed with and had these relationships with, Solomon began to lose the knowledge that he had of God and of the religion of the Jews. He lost his sense of the loss of truth in these idols. He lost his horror of what these idols brought about. He believed these false teachers. He wanted to be with them to reflect his own magnificence. And if his 700 wives and 300 concubines wanted to worship these idols, then it was fine with Solomon that they worshiped him. And if they were going to worship these idols, then he would build them the most splendid idol worship places that he could, and he did, even at the bankruptcy of his own people. He did not follow the teachings of God, because God is to be the sole purpose of our worship. He didn't let anyone put him second. He didn't allow King Solomon to put him second, and he doesn't allow us to put him second. Solomon was also a bad example. He was a bad example before an unbelieving world. Instead of these people that he was congregating with, instead of him influencing them for good, he allowed them to influence him for evil. And God finally got enough of it. And God told him, I'm going to tear your kingdom away from you. I'm going to take it away from you, Solomon, because you have not done what I told you to do. You've bankrupt my nation. You've bankrupt my people. I'm going to tear your kingdom away. And he stirred up the enemies of Solomon against him. You remember how Saul, when God said, I'm going to take your kingdom away, how he sought to kill David? Solomon did the same things. He tried to destroy those that he realized was going to be his successor. When we compromise our example, when we compromise what we do, expect trouble to come. And God removed that protective hedge that he had built around Solomon when he chose him specially for the job that he was going to do and what he had given him to do. Every speech that I have made for the last 4 years, I have always made the statement that Jesus commanded us to love God first and to love our neighbor as self. And I've always made a point after I said this to say, if we will do what God has told us to do, this greatest commandment, because Jesus said upon this commandment, all other commandments are built. Love God first and love neighbor as self. And I have always concluded this by saying, if we expect God to keep that hand of protection over our city and protect us from the things that other cities are having to deal with, we owe it first to God to do what he told us to do. As one man said, before we ask God to bless us, we need to bless God. Solomon had this hand, this protective hand of God over him. And because of his disobedience and because of his venture into idolatry, and because of these wives, and because he disobeyed God, God pulled that hedge away from Solomon. He took his kingdom away, and he allowed him to destroy himself. He tried to bring Solomon back to his senses. He tried to bring Solomon back to him, but he's not going to accept Solomon or us unless we're honest in the things that we do. So let's conclude this. This is an unfortunate, and it's a very sad story. And it's a story that did not have a good ending, because I can find nowhere in the Bible where Solomon ever repented of the things he had done wrong. I can find no way of ever, when he ever turned away from this sinkhole that he had dug himself into. And if there's no words in here about repentance, and there was about his daddy David, the chances are good that Solomon died in the position of sin and the compulsion that he had. Solomon had every advantage, and he turned them away and he ignored God. If it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to us. Solomon was given a lot, and to him a lot was expected. God warned him, and he ignored the warnings. Solomon's problem was not ignorance, because he knew what God demanded. In the first half of his life, he did what God told him, and he prospered, and so did the nation. It was the last half that he ignored God and did what he wanted and caused the nation to be destroyed. It wasn't ignorance that caused the downfall of Solomon. It was downright rebellion against the teachings of God. He knew better, and he did not do it. And I guess finally you can understand that we can have all the money in the world as Solomon did, but money can't buy you love, and neither can it buy you a place in heaven. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you." Simply put, do what God tells us to do and win, because God will win. Solomon rebelled against God. Solomon wouldn't do what God told him to do, and he became so involved in his sinful life and his sinful compulsions and his lustful thoughts, it destroyed not only Solomon, but it destroyed the nation of Israel as well. James Smith said it well. God wins, Satan loses. Be on God's side. Let's have a song of invitation to help you in any way. We ask you to come forward as we sing.